Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer, and I host Death, Sex, and Money, an interview podcast from WNYC that comes out every other Wednesday. The latest episode features Josenne Cummings, the dating columnist for the New York Post. And in the episode, we talk about his long and sordid dating history in New York City and the key moment in his life that made this proud bachelor feel ready to settle down. He's going to help me field your calls of only in New York love stories, and they are coming in, to see how we can see if we can tease out some lessons of the best places to go if you're looking for love. The phone number to call is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Call us and tell us how you met, where you met, what worked and what didn't work, how you keep your relationship going in New York in a particularly New York-y way, or what was a total deal breaker in a New York relationship that just wouldn't have mattered anywhere else. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. The phone calls are coming in, and we have Christina from Manhattan. You met your husband, who since passed away, on the subway?
I did indeed.
How did that happen?
It was, I guess it's one of those New York stories. And as a young woman in New York, I guess most of us are pretty closed to the idea of engaging strangers who are trying to get close to them, kind of thing, in public. But this man was so handsome and so well-dressed and a successful, confident person who you would think when you look at him, but he was trembling trying to talk to me. He was so cute. And went to light my cigarette when I got out of the subway, and his hand was shaking so much. So I thought, well, he's not a player.
And what year was this, Christina?
That was, I think, in 1982.
In 1982. And what do you remember about his approach on the subway? How did you start talking?
Well, later he was just, I had a seat, and it was rush hour, and he was standing over me at the, on the, holding onto the handrail above me, and I couldn't look at him because I felt this intensity of his gaze, and he told me later that he was supposed to get off at Grand Central, but he followed me all the way down to Wall Street, and it was waiting for some opening, so when he saw me reach for a cigarette when I got out of the, of course, we didn't stop smoking, but when he saw me do that, he went to light my cigarette, and that was his opening.
So he followed you out of the train and offered to light your cigarette.
Yes, and get me a cab to find me where I was going and anything he could, whatever. It was very, very cute. Eventually, I wouldn't give him my phone number, but he did give me his business card, which made him look very legit. So I called him a couple days later.
Well, that's a wonderful story, Christina, and thank goodness he had the courage to offer to light your cigarette back in 1982. Thanks for your call.
Thank
you. Josenne, I'm sure you've heard a lot of love on the subway stories. Mm-hmm. Is that approach of standing above a pretty woman and staring at her until she notices you, is that always a successful approach?
I don't think it's always a successful approach, but it's it is very difficult, very challenging to approach somebody on the subway. And I think that naturally, because we're all strangers to the other passengers for the most part, if we see somebody before we take that first step, we're probably going to be looking at them, staring at them. I mean, I've had those moments where somebody has gotten on and I'm just like, okay, I have to turn the other way. Or maybe I have to even change cars because maybe I won't talk to her. Maybe I would, but either way, it's like this weird thing where you're definitely staring at them because you've never seen this person. And now you can't stop looking at them. And maybe they're sitting right there in that seat. I always try to avoid the seats with the maps because I don't want people over me. But, it's one of those things where approaching people on the subway is so challenging because they're a stranger and you're a stranger. And if you've been here long enough, you've heard so many horror stories about you know, things that have gone wrong on the subway, that you try to avoid that.
Yeah, so that makes Christina's story all the more magical.
Right.
Randy, on the Upper West Side, what's your love in New York story?
Oh, my darling husband, 36 years ago, he picked me up on a nude beach. So we did meet in the nude, but I really have to back that up. I was extremely shy. The year before, I had pushed myself away from as many people as I could, so I didn't have to look or talk at anybody, whatever. And because of that, the cops ran over me on the beach. And they talked to the media and said they didn't see me because I was nude. So the people in my house who knew how shy I was, while I was in the hospital, took off their bathing suits in front of the cops and started dancing around. I get out of the hospital and I go to my private oasis, and there are about 200 tushies. So I had no privacy whatsoever, and I had seen him on the beach, and he still is, but was, the most gorgeous man I had ever seen in my life.
Oh, Randy, thank you for sharing your story. Eddie on Coney Island, where'd you meet your wife?
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead. Where'd you meet your wife?
I had to go to the TechServe in Midtown to try to fix my BlackBerry. And there was a beautiful woman standing next to me. And she was there for exactly the same reason. So we started talking and complaining about the BlackBerry. And I said, well, why don't we go up together since we're here for the same thing? Maybe the guy can explain it and, you know, he'll save one person, you know, instead of talking to each of us separately, we'll talk about it together and we'll get our stuff fixed. Well, the guy couldn't fix anything, but he wanted to help her much more than he wanted to help me.
but helped her get up to the front of the line sooner. That is a nice strategy for picking up a nice looking woman, Eddie. And you married?
Yes, and we have a crazy 2.5-year-old. And we are together, and we still talk about it. She still claims that she was ahead of me in line, though.
Aha, I see. So she let you cut. That's a key detail in the story. Thanks for your call, Eddie.
Thank you.
Nick in Windsor Terrace, what's your story?
I think it's a pretty good one. I always tell people this when they ask how we met. My girlfriend picked me up in a gay bar.
Oh.
And then they asked me, well, what were you doing there? And I say, I was working there.
What were you doing?
I was running sound and booking. Well, I don't think I was booking acts there yet, but I was running sound.
You were running sound at a gay bar, and you got picked up by your girlfriend. That is a good story. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Brian in Red Bank, New Jersey, what is your only in New York romance story?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm an opera singer, a young opera singer, and my girlfriend is a dancer. And at the time, this was about 4 years ago, I was singing with an opera company that was doing a concert in Carnegie Hall. And it was going to be my solo debut at Carnegie Hall, and it was really exciting.
Wow.
And they hired my girlfriend's dance company to sort of be our, like, background dancers for the concert. And, you know, we sort of met on stage, and we sort of fell in love on stage, and, you know, it's been 4 happy years ever since.
You met on stage rehearsing at Carnegie Hall for your solo debut?
Yep.
That's a pretty hard one to top.
I know, it was really romantic, and she lived on the Jersey Shore, and she actually picked me up. She said, hey, you should come hang out by the beach. And I said, that sounds like a great idea.
Thanks for your call, Brian. Ed in Manhattan, where'd you meet your wife?
Hi. I met my wife at the Beresford on the Upper West Side. We were in a book group, as I was telling your booking person. What had happened was that I didn't tell the booking person this, but I was 34 years old, and I was convinced that I wasn't gay, but I hadn't been in a serious relationship ever. But I did this detailed analysis, and I figured out that all the women that I had had something to do with had a literary bent of one form or another. Mm. So this is a sort of a New York intellectual courtship. So we met at a book group, the Great Book Society, in the Beresford apartment building.
Do you remember what the first book you read together was?
Sure do. It was called Light in August.
Light in August. That's a nice story for a summer love.
Yes.
Thanks for your call, Ed.
Sure. My pleasure.
Reese in Newark, what's your only in New York love story?
Hey. So I was actually engaged to marry someone else, and he broke up with me. I was dead. I just like start living again. I Googled R&B open mic in New York City, and the Village Underground is the one that came up in the West Village. I walk in the club. I swear it said 7 o'clock, but I walk into the club and only the bartenders and the regulars are there. And I think they have pity on me, so they let me in, even though the thing started at 10 o'clock. And I sat down next to one of the regulars. She struck up a conversation, and she's talking to me about her friend, who's so nice because I seem so nice, and I have to meet him. And I said, oh, he has to have buck teeth and probably lives in his mother's basement. But she found me later and introduced me to him. It turned out he was the drummer for the club at the time. And I always say and swear that he didn't like me until he heard me sing the blues and saw my red shoes. And later that night, he asked me out on a date. We went on our first date the next day, and we got married and in New York City 6 months later and had our reception at the club, which was really special.
What a wonderful story, Reese. Congratulations. And I love this, Jozen, that we're hearing some stories of New York City risk-taking, mm-hmm. that people saying, mm-hmm. you know what, I'm gonna get out there.
That's exactly what you
have
to do.
And find people who share my mm-hmm. interest. Is it a little harder to get out into the physical space with online dating and Tinder? Are people getting out there as much as they used to?
I think people are still getting out there as much as they used to. I mean, you go to any bar on the weekend and it's still filled with people. So online dating hasn't replaced physical in-person contact and meeting people. But I would say that I actually think that online dating is still a risk that people should also consider taking.
Yes. You know? Get out there.
Expand their options.
Get out there. It might be a little harder to light that pretty woman's cigarette at the top of the train stairs here
yes.
now than it was in 1982, but still plenty of New York love stories out there brewing, I bet. Jozen Cummings is the dating reporter for the New York Post. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. Thank you so much for listening.